This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Welcome back to the second hour. We're live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You can come on down. Still have time for some lunch at Midtown Cafe, and you can watch the show. Also want to remind listeners that we'll be outside on Friday. We'll be up on the sidewalk, so you can come on by, say hi, and chat with us if you'd like. So here we are.
We'll be getting visits from Grasshoppers Garden Center and talk some plants and stuff like that. Kim Pulaski is a guy who apparently has some really interesting insights into cooking in non-traditional ways. Would that be a fair way to put it?
That is a fair way to put it, yes. And Kim is quite interesting.
Is he? Well, I just met him briefly yesterday at kind of a cool, funky Hawaiian shirt on and just looked like a free spirit.
He is a free spirit.
If you can use that as any indication.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, he's got some pretty interesting stuff to share with us about about cooking.
Indian cooking.
Why is there a crystal on my desk here or in front of, can you see this?
That's mine. I wonder what
it
that's
is?
Doing there. That's what I got in the mines.
Why oh, you mean when you and Daryl went mining and was it Georgia or North Carolina?
That was one of mine. Well, you found that on the desk right there?
It was right there by the books. Is somebody going through your stuff? I mean, that's a
Isn't
honking big crystal.
Pretty?
Yeah.
I know. That's when we went mining.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you never know. You go away for 2 weeks and you find, I almost put it in my pocket and walked out of it.
You know, I don't really remember putting it down here. That's kind of strange. Wow.
Coming up in a few moments, we'll be talking with a couple guys who've started a restaurant in North Carolina, Asheville to be exact. That really is the heart of barbecue country, North Carolina. Even though you hear a lot about Nashville, you hear about Kansas City. But North Carolina is where actually our friend Kevin Cornish went when he wanted to, before he opened Casey's Rib Shack, he wanted to see what the real deal was. And so he went to North Carolina and spent a bunch of time.
He does that every year.
Oh, he does?
He goes on a barbecue tour every
year. Oh, I didn't realize he did that frequently.
Yes. Him and his partner, Greg, they go on a barbecue tour and they go and see, you know, what's new. He must know about 12 Bones, I bet.
Well, he probably does. I mean, they've only been open, I think, maybe 3 or 4 years.
I'm sure he does.
It was started by a guy, and we'll get his story in a few moments when they call in from North Carolina. Brian King and his wife opened it. And he was a high-tech guy. He was just, you know, tired of the rat race of corporate America and wanted to open a restaurant knowing little or nothing about the restaurant business. But he found a really, really good executive chef, Shane Hebner, who will be part of the conversation as well, and opened it. And it went from their initial goal was to serving 100 people a day, and now they're on many days 700 to 1,000 guests.
That's crazy.
So clearly they're doing something right. And so they did a cookbook on it, and we'll be chatting with them about that. But along those lines, we often talk about some of the crazy fair food that you can get around the country, the Texas State Fair, Minnesota, Iowa State Fair. Well, here we go. One of the newest things is deep-fried baby back ribs.
No way.
Right.
I was afraid of what you were going to say. Deep-fried baby back ribs.
Bell Park Cafe is the culprit. This will be at the Minnesota State Fair a little later, I believe, in late August. And what they do is they bread them, fry them, and serve them with barbecue sauce on the side. So I do want to ask our guests about that, if that's any variation they would ever do or have done. It doesn't sound that appealing because there's so much great flavor in ribs if you do it right to begin with. But to bread them and deep fry them, that's, you know, it's hard to stack on, heart attack on a bone.
Funky to bite into, you know?
Well, look at if they're deep frying Starbucks coffee and Snickers bars and Twinkies and everything else. Did you guys ever, have you ever tried deep frying some of your Dino Fingers?
You know, we the help does that. They'll do that from time to time in the kitchen when they're fooling around.
Yeah.
But we don't do it because it kind of ruins the fry later when you're throwing different things in it, you know, stuff like that.
And the
kitchen's small and, you know, there's 3 fry laters and they're kind of dedicated to certain things.
Okay, that makes sense.
And if we keep throwing Dino Fingers in there.
So maybe when it's time to change the oil, they might do it.
Yeah,
we change
our oil every day.
Okay.
It gets strength 3 times a day, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, cleaned 3 times a day. Speaking of Dinofingers, last week when Donna was here, Donna, Patrick, and Tracy were all like right here. And we were talking about Dinofingers the first, you know, hour. I don't even remember why we were talking about them, but anyway. And so I texted Amanda and I said, can you find a way to get some Dinofingers to the studio for the second hour? Just come down, you know, when we're on, just come right in and bring some Dinofingers. So sure enough, she, you know, hooked it up and comes down with like, you know, a couple dozen Dinofingers on the counter. You should have seen the three of them. None of them had eaten them before. It was hilarious. I mean, they were so funny. Patrick's like, you make this thing? You know, Patrick the chef. So he's like examining it, right?
Yes.
He's like
deconstructing it, right?
God, and he's like firm, you know, it's squishy, just like a
Twinkie. Because they're so much better than Twinkies. I mean, they're it's just, there's just more
so
to it.
Funny,
and they're bigger, I think.
They're about the same size. Maybe a little plumper. Maybe a little bit plumper, you know, but he was just fascinated by it. All three of them, they woofed down their Dinofinger. It was hilarious.
We didn't bring any Dinofingers for Julie Barron today, though.
No.
Our apologies.
We didn't.
Bummer.
Bummer, man.
Well, welcome, Julie. We're talking with Julie Barron, President and CEO of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. You can check them out on the web at nh.wish.org. I used that this morning. I said, oh, I need to call Julie, ask her to come in a little early. And I went, nh.wish.org, got the number. So
that's great. Yeah. Good afternoon, everyone.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thank you for being flexible. We had some scheduling issues, and it was nice to know that you were upstairs and that you would be available to come down a little ahead of your normal time. So.
Yeah, I plan Tuesdays to be my office day, so I'm usually around.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what is new? What is happening with all these wishes, like the summer wishes?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned it a couple weeks ago that we are working on about 32 wishes right now, coming into the end of the year, which is amazing. We get everything from a African safari to a little boy that wants to be a magician to a movie premiere that's going on this Sunday. And we've got all kinds of stuff going on.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Oh,
so
I know.
My head's spinning a little bit. It's kind of exciting. It's kind of exciting that all
very
this stuff
exciting
is going on.
Very, and, very exciting.
You know, and we just, I don't know if anybody saw, but we just put up this magnificent play area for a little boy named Zachary last week in his yard.
Aww.
Yeah. I mean, it was huge. So for me, you know, the priceless line of the day was he was off in a corner as they were building and all. Now we had the firemen from Derry, Manchester, and one other that I'll think of in a minute because I don't want to leave them out. But it was amazing. So these three, you know, fire departments descended with materials and put together this playhouse that he had picked out, which was absolutely amazing. And so he's off in the corner playing with his friends. And I hear him say to one of his friends, "Wow, it's a lot bigger than I thought it was."
That's what you love to hear.
Yes, that's awesome. So, but oh my God, there were so many moving parts to it.
Describe it.
Just keep going on. I mean, it had slides and bars that you walk across, and then it had like a little zip line bar. So you get on, and then it zips you over to another part of it.
So
it had
cool.
a turret, like a whole play area within inside it, bridges, swings. You know,
so it sounds pretty large.
You could like steering wheel things and, you know, just all kinds of stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That sounds great.
It
oh
was
my
really
gosh.
Cool watching it go up with all the flags. And, you know, of course, we had stars carved into it, you know, go figure.
So you got the materials donated.
Yeah.
And then how did you reach out to the various fire departments for the manpower? Or women power.
Yeah, we actually reached out to Manchester, and they've done so much for us in the past. And they, you know, called a couple of the other departments, and everybody jumped on board. We had 40 firefighters there. Yeah, it was absolutely
must have
amazing.
Taken 10 minutes to put that thing together.
Oh, I know. Well, it
they're not
you know,
easy.
So they did it like from start to finish?
Yeah, it came off the flatbed at 9 o'clock. and by noon they were done.
No way.
Yeah.
That typically would take a week for, you know, average dad or two.
It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. So they siphoned off into pieces of it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, a group, there was a trampoline and everything too. So there was a group putting together that piece, a piece putting together the turret, a piece putting together the swing set part. There was, and then all of a sudden at like 11:30, quarter 12, like pieces started like coming in and being attached together.
You should have had an ongoing video of it. And then, you know,
have
fast
a drone
forward,
overhead
watch
or
it,
something.
Watch it,
yeah,
like, that, you know, yeah. putting it together. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It sounds huge.
Oh, Wyndham Fire.
Oh, okay.
Phew. Don't want to forget them. Yeah. So
nice.
It was, yeah, that one was a lot of fun to kind of watch. I was a lot of help, I got to tell you guys. You know?
Were you supervising?
I took some pictures, mm-hmm. you know,
now,
socialized.
I don't know if I'm friends or if I've liked Make-A-Wish New Hampshire on Facebook.
Oh, you should.
Because I need to do that, because I'm sure there are pictures there. You see, that you needed a drone for that. That would have been a very cool thing to have from up above.
That really would have been.
And I'm wondering, have you had any wishes requesting any? Because, I mean, the drone is the big toy these days.
We haven't.
I guess I'm putting that idea out
there. Putting that idea out there.
There you go.
Wish child that's possibly listening, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, the other big thing this summer seems to be man caves. We're doing three of them.
Man caves?
Yeah.
For kids?
For kids. You know, they want just a place of their own. So I call it a man cave.
Okay.
But, you know, like a, you know, we're used to doing sensory rooms and things like that. But,
okay.
you know, but three little boys want, you know, just, you know, mm-hmm. a place for them to go and play that's their very own. Different than a room makeover. So in one of them, you know, the parents have kind of given over the garage and we're going to make it into this really cool, you know, play area with ping pong tables and all kinds of fun stuff.
Because Carol's got a she shack.
Well, I was going to say, they must have been listening to the Pulse and was jealous and hearing about my girl cave.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, we talked a little bit about the girl cave, so, but yeah. But Lindsay's premiere is this Sunday night, so if there's any listeners that really want to see a wish come to life, we're going to be the Capital Center of the Arts. You want to get there a little before 5, but give me a call. We'll put you on the list, you know, to be fans, you know, as
watching
Lindsay
her walk
arrives.
In on the red carpet and all.
So this is some video or kind of her life or something, and then it's going to be shown?
Her wish was to make a movie out of a short story that she wrote.
Oh, I love that.
And it's an animated, it's anime that, you know, with the big eyes, the cartoons, the big eyes.
Oh, like the Minions?
No. It's called
Anime.
Oh, that's the story.
Am I pronouncing it right?
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Anime. It's kind of a type of film making. Now.
It's like they get the big eyes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so I'm out of the loop.
When you see it, you'll know.
Yeah.
When I, you know, but I've seen it already. I got a sneak preview.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, who put it together? I mean, it sounds like there had to be some professional help, right?
Yeah, we had a volunteer that this young lady, Megan Higgins, was doing a big school project, and her project, you know, in college was to help Lindsay put this together. So Lindsay wrote the story, she did a lot of the drawing, you know, Megan shared some things up and guided her along the way and was kind of the cinematographer, so to speak, for her movie. But it was all directed and written and created by Lindsay.
That's
pretty cool.
That's a beautiful facility, and it's such a nice dramatic walk up to the front doors. Will there be a red carpet or something along those lines?
Yeah.
And a limo? Will she pop out of a limo?
Absolutely.
So you had to reach out
Lindsay's
to somebody.
Hopefully Lindsay's not listening, but yes, she's going to. And she's going to be arriving in grand style.
Right.
We'll have her all dolled up, you know, so this is a snazzy affair. And, you know, she'll be signing autographs.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
So this is taking place this Sunday,
this
5 o'clock. Get there before 5. If you haven't RSVP'd, you want to do that?
Yeah. I'm doing kind of counts for food and stuff. It's not like we're not going to do a big bottleneck at the door or anything, but, you know, I don't want to overwhelm the Capitol Center. So I want to give Steve a great idea of how many people are coming and that right. kind of thing. And
right. Well, it holds 1,500 people, I think.
Yeah, so I think I'm still good.
I think you're good. Yeah. I mean, it'd be great to see everybody fill all the seats.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
So I'm going to guess there'll be a big screen that drops down from the stage, probably.
Yes.
And
yep.
then the projector. How long does the film go?
About 8.5 minutes.
Right.
So it's a short animated movie.
And for all the kids that'll be there, you know, they won't get too antsy with their short attention spans.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really, really,
and how old
really
is she?
Sweet. She's 18. Yeah.
She's 18 years old.
Yeah. So, and she, you know, just wanted to kind of, you know, a little bit of it is based on her experiences. So it's, you know, it's really touching and gets some cool superhero parts to it. It's great.
So, nice. So you've shared a couple very different types of wishes and what we typically, you know, hear about, and it's nice. Will a wish family or a kid ever come to you and say, I don't really know what I would like to do. Do you have any ideas? And what's the process for helping them, to maybe pointing them in something that would make them happy?
Well, we train our wish granters, our volunteer wish granters, to really be able to ask questions to pull things out of kids. So once a wish granter is trained and a child has been referred and we've really documented that they do have a life-threatening medical condition, then they're assigned these two volunteer wish granters. And they go out and they sit with the child and they really try to figure out what that child's heartfelt wish is. So, for instance, if a child really doesn't know, they might put a whole bunch of different pictures and ideas in front of them and let them pick some things. They may ask them to close their eyes and think about, you know, what they see, you know, what's around them, who's with them. You know, they have a lot of different questions they ask about what kind of things they like to do. You know, what do they do with their parents? What do they do with their friends? What do they do when they're outdoors? What do they do when they're indoors? And all these types of questions are meant to really bring out the child, get to know them a little bit better, and really kind of whittle out what, you know, what it is they might like to do. And it's really, it's fascinating because some kids, you walk in the door and by the time you even say, you know, what you might like, what do you want for your wish? They've blurted it out, you know, or they'll come with a t-shirt that happens to depict something and you're like, well, this one's going to be easy. And then there are other kids that, you know, you might have to go back and visit a couple of times. They really haven't decided. They get a little bit overwhelmed. You know, but we really try to figure out what their heartfelt wish is, what that experience, event, or thing is that can be really deeply felt by them. Because a lot of the kids at the hospitals, they talk. And so we really want to make sure that it isn't what Susie, who, you know, you saw last time, you know, you went to Dartmouth, you know, what her wish was, but really, you know, what it is that that particular child wants to do. And even some of the wishes that may sound similar to the rest of us, we try to make them really, really different because there are all kinds of different experiences and pieces and things that you can add to, you know, a South African safari.
Or like Disney.
Or like Disney.
You know, make it different.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because a Disney wish may be, I want to meet Mickey Mouse is kind of what you think of first, you know, or it could be they want to meet Buzz Lightyear, or they want to, you know, like the child we had, I think I talked about a little while ago, that we did end up sending to Florida because he wanted to be a Mickey Mouse puppeteer. So there, you know, there are all kinds of different pieces and, you know, or some of the other theme parks. Like we had a child that wanted to meet and defeat Darth Vader.
Yes.
Meet and defeat?
Still one
so
of my
cool.
all-time favorite
Love
ones.
It.
I know I talked about that
yeah,
once.
Yeah, so
but,
cool.
That one, and that was 10 years ago now, but that one just resonated with me for some reason. You know, so really it can be anything. You know, a kid can have...
Even go to the moon.
Yeah, it could be really, you know, anything that that child wants. You know, they could want to meet someone. They could want to be something, you know, because we've had children that want to be police officers, firemen, carpenters, zookeepers, you know, all kinds of different things. you know, or have something. We have a lot of those. I probably don't talk about them quite as much. You know, the shopping sprees, those are always fun, you know, and it is tailored to a particular child, because I remember a little girl named Molly, and this was several years ago now. She wanted a shopping spree, but I have never seen this 16-year-old girl. We spent the entire day, and she bought, oh my God, she wanted to buy jeans. I don't even know how many pairs of jeans we bought that day, but it was, you know, that was her wish. She wanted to feel special in that way and, you know.
And just be able to go out and buy all the jeans she wanted.
All the jeans she wanted.
Money is no object.
Money is no object.
Yeah.
Wow.
Any style, any fashion. And that one was a lot of fun, too.
That must
have
she been.
Bought a lot of other shopping spree. But hers was clothes. It was all clothes, you know.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, we're nearly done with the segment. So, again, as we always do, let people know how they can touch with you, either on behalf of a child with an illness or just to help out as a volunteer or make a contribution.
That would be great. So you can just call our office, which is 623-9474. You can visit us on our website, which is nh.wish.org.
And there you go.
All right. Well, great stories, always uplifting, and you know, every time I see Julie, she's so very excited, and you know, what a great job you have.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm, awesome. You know, yeah. So the big thing of the day is working on finding two big black cars, because the Secret Service have to, you know, bring Lindsay in.
Oh.
So we've got it all lined up.
Oh man,
I guess my Mini Cooper
so
won't help
cool.
then.
so cool. All right, you're listening to Food for Thought. Julie, thank you. Always a pleasure. Always learn something new about Make-A-Wish. And stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Turns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
DPL, we're brought to you by Integrity Health Coaching Solutions of Bedford and Londonderry, integrityfit.com, and Red Arrow Diners, three of them, count them, Manchester, Milford, and the latest with the drive-through is in Londonderry, right off exit 5 of 93, redarrowdiner.com. It's all about the food, as is our next segment. Couple of people put together a restaurant that I wish was closer to where we are.
No kidding.
We have Casey's Rib Shack, which is basically North Carolina barbecue because of all the research Kevin has done. But I know the real deal is sitting in Asheville, North Carolina. 12 Bones Smokehouse has now put out the 12 Bones Smokehouse, a mountain barbecue cookbook. Joining us is one of the owners, Brian King, and I believe Shane Hevener, who is the executive chef, is there as well. So do we have both you guys there?
Yes. How are you?
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Oh, you're very welcome. I wanted to start out by telling you that I mentioned Casey's Rib Shack here in Manchester, New Hampshire, which typically you wouldn't think of New Hampshire being any kind of a spot where you'd go as a barbecue destination, but this is an incredibly successful rib shack that essentially was inspired by North Carolina barbecue. The owner, Kevin Cornish, goes down every year just to check out the North Carolina barbecue scene. So I'm feeling pretty confident that that he's probably got it right. At least his numbers would indicate that.
Sounds like he's off to a good start, at least.
Now, Brian, you and your wife, Angela, opened up a 12 Bone Smokehouse a few years ago. You weren't even in the restaurant business. So what made you leave the world of high tech to do something completely different?
Well, that's correct. Yeah, you know, to be honest, if you had asked me, I don't know, probably 6 years ago, if I was ever going to leave San Francisco or be in the restaurant business for that matter, I probably would have said you were crazy. My wife and I, we were, as you mentioned, we were living out in San Francisco, and we had gotten, well, my father had mentioned a barbecue place back in my hometown of Asheville, North Carolina, that was really good. And we decided, you know, one time when we were back visiting during the holidays, we popped in and tried it, and wound up getting to know the owners, the previous owners, actually, who started it in 2005, and December 2005. And got to know them, and I had an interest in starting one out in San Francisco, actually, or the Bay Area, and because I wound up being laid off for a little while out there and trying to, you know, kind of evaluating my employment status and, you know, what direction I wanted to go with my life. And was looking to get out of the corporate world, and got to know the previous owners here, and was picking their brain, and you know, was trying to see if they wanted to franchise or consult on something on the West Coast, and it turned out they were working on another project at the time. And, but we stayed in touch, and I don't know, I guess maybe a year or so passed, and then they contacted us and asked if we would be interested in coming back and learning the ropes and taking over 12 Bones. And, you know, from that point, really, the rest is history. I mean, we, my wife and I, after a lot of thought, decided to give it a shot. We moved back in November of 2011 and started at the bottom. I mean, we were in the dish pit and, you know, doing the pitmaster position and on the line and everything and running food and just getting to know all the facets of the business. And, you know, we finalized the purchase in 2013.
So just to back up a little bit, when you and your wife took it over, as I recall, either in your book or some source, that you were setting an initial goal of having 100 guests a day, and now you're anywhere from 700 to 1,000. So it looks as though you're doing something right. And I'm going to guess that you probably want to give some of the credit to the other gentleman on the line, Shane Hebner, who's your executive chef.
Absolutely, absolutely. Shane has been here from the early days. I think he's been with us almost 8 years now, and he's seen it all. He's seen, you know, the president's visits. He actually cooked for the president when the president came through, and you know, I'll let him talk to some of it. But yeah, I mean, in the early days, the River Arts District, where the restaurant is located, the original is located, it was pretty seedy back then. Now it's. You know, there's a lot of artists in the area. We're getting New Belgium is about a half a mile away, which will open toward the end of this year. But back in those days, there wasn't anything down here except for like a trash dump. And I think Tom and Saber really just hoped to just catch people passing through, and you know, they looked at you know, 100 folks would be a good number. But these days, I mean, we basically average 500 people every day for the whole year. And during the summer months, you know, well, this past Friday, for instance, we did 930. And, you know, that may not seem like a ton, but we're only open 5 hours. We're only open for lunch. So,
wow.
Yeah,
how many do you seat?
Well, we have space for 50 inside. There are about 52. And then we have a patio, a covered patio that seats maybe about another 75 or 80. So we're doing a lot of turnover.
You do lots of turnover. My goodness.
Yep. Yep. It's pretty crazy sometimes.
So let me ask Chef Shane Hebner a question, because Brian mentioned the president's visit, and I believe the first family has visited, I think, three times while you've been there or over the course of your tenure there. So is it true that the Secret Service had to kind of keep an eye on you making the president's meal?
Yeah, they took everything that was sharp and pointy away from it.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, how the heck do you do your job when you don't have the tools to create the really great pulled pork and ribs and everything else?
Well, they let me have, right at the very end, let me have a knife and a pair of tongs, and that was about as far as they went. But yeah, it was pretty interesting. And when their ticket came in, I wasn't sure. I had two tickets hanging. I wasn't sure whose was theirs and whose was one of our regular customers. That was kind of made it a little more settling, because I mean, I was going to make their food the same way as I do for everybody else, and it was that was the second time they came, is when he and Michelle both came and sat down and ate. First time it was just him, and he wasn't president just yet. It was about 2 weeks before the election, but the second time they actually came and sat down and ate and sit on the patio and spent some time with us and took a picture with everybody in the kitchen.
All right, that's very cool, but here's the question. Is the president a big tipper?
He did tip. He actually, they waited in line, You know, they closed it off. The Secret Service closed it off, and so whoever was here was allowed to stay. And so they waited in line and spoke to folks in line. And then when it was their turn to order, they ordered. They paid for it, and then tipped as well. So yeah, they were very nice.
Brian, tell me about the cookbook here. It's called 12 Bones Smokehouse, a mountain barbecue cookbook. Did you do this because so many people said, gee, I'd love the recipe, or, you know, I've never had it this way? Because it's a lot of work to do a cookbook, is it not?
Oh. Well, you know, Shane and I have joked many times that I think if it were up to he and I, you know, we had talked probably a couple of years before we actually wound up getting around to doing it. You know, even right when I came on board, we were talking about the possibility of doing one, and we always joked, well, if it's up to us, we may not get past the first chapter. You know, I think it's we did it for a few reasons. You know, obviously one for posterity. You know, both of us have, you know, we come from Southern families, and we're, you know, Shane's was born maybe about an hour from Asheville, and I was born about an hour from Asheville as well. And, you know, we have older family members who've had recipes that have been passed down through generations, and a lot of those have been lost because, you know, they weren't written down anywhere. And so I think that was part of the reason why we wanted to do it. And, of course, you know, because there isn't a day that goes by where someone isn't like, oh, what's the ingredient in your corn pudding, or what's in this or what's in that. So, you know, I think it's a nice tribute to the restaurant and to the previous owners, you know, Tom and Sabra. They obviously created a winning formula, and you know, I think, like I said, I think it's just a nice tribute to 12 Bones in general.
I cook with a big green egg, which I realize isn't, you know, all the fancy and tried and true stuff that you guys have. But what are some of the, I'm asking this on behalf of all the other backyard chefs, what are a couple of things that we typically do wrong that if we did it right, our brisket or our ribs would be a lot better?
Injecting, I hate the injecting stuff. It drives me crazy. The injections, it used to be a big fad. I'm not sure if people still, if it still is or not, but it just never really made any sense to me that you want to squirt a marinade inside of a piece of meat and expect it to stay there. It's just trying to break the law of physics, especially when you start to cook it and the meat shrinks. It's just going to push it right back out the same hole that you put in. And then you only have that flavor where you poke the hole and squirt the marinade in. I'm a big briner. I love to brine meat. That way the flavor gets all the way down to the bone, and it's spread out through the whole surface of the meat and not just in certain areas. And it helps keep the meat moist. You know, being if you overcook it, it'll still be okay. Brining is huge. We have a segment in the cookbook about brining. I do a lot of brining, everything from corned beef to our turkeys that we smoke on Thanksgiving for customers. Yeah, brining is huge, especially when you don't. We have a rotisserie smoker, so our meat gets basted, and a lot of people, most people, aren't going to have that. But brining is a huge way to help you out with that for sure.
Well, I know these your menu items. I love the names. Brian, are you the one that did? Is this like the original menu names here, or did you come up with some of these, or like your 12 Bones mop sauce? That just sounds so cool. I love it.
I can't take credit for the names. No, it was the restaurant was the recipes were created by Tom Montgomery and Sabre Kelly. And another guy who was a partner with them when they first opened, Ron Brannett, and who has since passed away. You know, they created a lot of all the recipes, or most of the recipes at least, and a lot of them were done, you know, kind of late at night. What else can we throw in the smoker? You know, just on a whim. I mean, I think they were just trying to figure out. I mean, like the corn pudding, for instance. I think they were originally trying to do like a corn pancake of some sort.
Oh,
nice. It wouldn't come out right. So they wound up doing a corn pudding, and I don't know, threw the word "damn good" on there, and then.
That's awesome.
So, you know.
Talk to me about this hog. Oh.
Yeah, you want to ask about
a lot of the other recipes that aren't the 12 Bones classics are mostly Shane, so you know he could take credit for some of those names.
Okay, what about the Hogzilla? Talk to me about that a little bit. That well, sounds that was, pretty huge.
Yeah, that was created by Ron Brandon actually, and he had heard a story about. Huge pig being caught in the mountains of Alabama or somewhere in the South. I don't know. Like a 800-pound pig, and they had dubbed it Hogzilla. And so he thought, well, it'd be kind of cool to have a sandwich that was pork overload, pork to the third power, if you will. So, so that's sort of where that came up, and they just decided to do. A house. I mean, we make everything in house, so it's a house made brat with some pulled pork on it and two strips of our sugared bacon and some pepper jack cheese. So.
Brown sugar bacon. Yeah. That sounds like
I saw that.
Crazy.
That's on my list to make. You got to pulverize a bunch of the ingredients, but you know it's definitely
worth
it.
They need to send us up some of this stuff.
Well, sure, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. Well, guys, we're almost out of time. One last question. I was noticing online today, one of the food websites, that the Minnesota State Fair this year is going to be creating deep-fried baby back ribs. What they're going to do is bread it and then drop it into the fryer later. How does that hit you?
Shane, what do you think about that one?
Man, I've never tried it.
Well, dude, give it a shot.
I've done a deep fried turkey and that was pretty good.
We're in the Bible Belt of the South and we already had a bad reputation about our food being unhealthy.
Oh,
I don't think that'll do a whole lot for us.
At least it's up in Minnesota, so
exactly.
Man, that's going a little overboard there, but who knows? I'm sure it'll probably taste good.
Exactly. The book is called 12 Bones Smokehouse, a Mountain Barbecue Cookbook. And if you're ever down in Asheville, North Carolina, Brian and Angela and Shane are the folks that you'll see at 12 Bones Smokehouse, a legend after just a couple of years or not even a decade. Guys, what a pleasure to have you on board today, sharing some of your Southern style cooking with us here in the North. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Y'all come down and visit.
Oh, I love that, y'all.
Well, you know, we're gonna send Kevin Cornish from up here. I gotta hook you two up because you both would do good together.
He's the guy that brought North Carolina barbecue here because he feels that that's where it's being done right. Not Memphis, not Kansas City, but North Carolina. So we need to give him your contact information because he comes down once a year just to kind of poke around to see what the latest is.
Does a barbecue
Absolutely.
Tour.
Absolutely, love
so,
to talk to him.
Oh, yeah.
If I ever get out there to meet the wife's family, I'll stop and see him.
Oh, your wife's family's from up here?
She's from Concord, yeah.
Oh, cool. Jeez, all right, well, near here.
If we catch you coming through town and not stopping in, dude, you are in deep you-know-what. All right, guys, have a great day and the continued success at 12 Bone Smokehouse.
Thank you so much, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. We need to go on break.
We've got to do a break. We'll come back with a few final thoughts, and that'll be it.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol and Mike. Mike is back from vacation. It's Tuesday, a little muggy outside. And, that was really interesting.
It was fun,
I just texted Kevin Cornish of Casey's Rib Shack to ask him if he's ever eaten there, and he says, no, I've eaten at 24 barbecue joints in North Carolina, but not that one.
Well, tell him it's in Asheville, Asheville.
Yeah, I did. I said that, and I'm telling him you need to go there. I'm going to hook you up with the owner. So
you say he goes there every year? Really?
He goes on a barbecue tour. Yeah.
Now, I'm sure he doesn't, because when I invited him on the show a few weeks ago, he said, oh, man, I'd love to, but this is our busiest time of the year. So I can't imagine he would be down there, you know, now. But probably it's sort of the slower
like
time.
Like graduation times is tough for him.
And yeah.
Then, did you hear, you know, you've been gone. Did you hear all the publicity that he had while you were gone?
What happened?
Well, there was a, I know we only have like a minute or so. There was some customers out in the tiki bar. And they were singing really loud. You know, there was a big group of them, and they started singing really loud. Did you hear about this?
Did this happen a couple weeks ago?
It did.
Because I saw the Facebook posting on that, but
yes.
Beyond that, I don't know what happened.
Well, they were singing really loud, so,
yep.
You know, I'm not sure if it was Greg or Kevin, but one of them had to go over and say, listen, mm-hmm. You know, we got other families here, and you got to kind of tone it down a little bit. Well,
right.
She went to Yelp. And
okay.
Put a review,
mm-hmm.
And you know, never gonna eat a really not a nice
right.
Review.
I did see that.
And Kevin responded to
I
it.
I saw his response,
which
I thought was good,
very good,
very appropriate.
Well, last week he was visited all week by media, Fox News, C-SPAN,
really
everything, Boston, all over the place.
She did Kevin a favor.
She totally did. He's been so busy. And the Facebook, isn't that, hilarious?
That's fabulous.
It is unbelievable.
I wondered what was going to happen after
yeah.
I figured it would just die.
Oh, my gosh.
So somehow the media picked up on it, because I doubt that Kevin went to Fox and said, hey, just see what's
oh, no.
going on.
People were calling him right and left. There was an article in the Union Leader.
Yeah.
It started with that, and then it just, he was getting calls. I mean, one day we were going back and forth because we do the
I
Thrive business
it.
Together.
Yes.
And he's like, Carol. I'm getting phone calls like up the yin yang, people, you know, interviewing me and, you know, crazy. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Great. We got to get Kevin back on.
Yes. When things slow down a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I was hoping we might see Ken today. We didn't see him today.
Kenny Kale?
I haven't seen him.
Well, he'll be on the air, though.
One of the weeks you were gone, he was in St. Martin, but he is back.
He was?
So, yeah.
He wasn't doing a broadcast from St. Martin, was he?
No. Okay. He had some fill-ins.
He had some girlfriends down there, I'm sure.
He went with his girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he went with Beth, his girlfriend.
Nice.
But Kale and Company's up next, and we'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye, everybody.